see everybody, smiling faces, beautiful children. What a wonderful day it is. When I talked to Brother Randy this morning, I've met him. The first thing out of his mouth was, "It's going to be a wonderful day." Isn't that the truth? No worries about threats of snow today. It's going to be a wonderful day. We are so thankful that everybody's here today. We're here to hear the gospel of God, to praise God in song, and to give of ourselves. And we want to do that today, and we want most assuredly to honor God with everything that we say and do. And we have guests with us this morning. We want you to know you're our honored guests, and everything that we say and do, we pray, will be coming from this book. And if you have any questions about our worship service or the things that we do here, please don't hesitate to ask. If you have any concerns about the message today, or you have some differences, then you'd be my best friend if you come and talk to me about it. And so we're open, our hearts are open to you, to your needs, and we want to be able to serve our Lord God in spirit and in truth. In the scripture reading this morning that you heard, Paul's talking about those sending out the word of God, their feet going out, and they're speaking the precious word of God. And that's so important for all of us today to do such a good thing. The lesson title today is simply, "Is no news good news?" We've all heard that. When was the last time you heard really good news? You know, if you watch television, the news, there's a bombing here, a shooting there, the president said this and that, right? And you don't hear of good news watching television. If you apply that to your friends, well, then oftentimes, yes, you'll hear good news. You'll hear good news about a friend getting a promotion. Maybe that friend also in his family, they have a new baby. But at the same time, you might hear from your friends that he's lost his job, he's worried about losing everything in life, and the child died. And so good news is not something that's guaranteed. And the reason is because we have God and we have the devil. We have God and we have the devil. That means we have good and we have evil. That's what that means. That means we're going to hear good news. We're going to hear bad news. The devil brought sin. That separates man from God. That's bad news. But the righteousness of God sent His Son into the world to bring us back together with Him through the blood of Christ. And that's really good news. With this in mind, I'd like to spiritually challenge everyone to be thinking about this phrase that we're all so familiar with. Is good news is no news is good news, is what people say. And I want you to think about that. We ask the question, is that really true? You know, the word gospel is in the Bible, in the New King James, 101 times, and we know that the gospel is what needs to be preached. Matthew 4:23, that's what Jesus did. He went out into all the world and He preached the kingdom, the coming of the church, salvation. In Matthew 24:14, it tells us that this gospel of the kingdom will be preached. And that's our job, because now we're in the kingdom. The word gospel comes from a Greek word, euangelio, and it's a compound word. And the first part of that, you, means well or good. And the second part comes from the word angelos, which means a messenger, an envoy, or an angel. That's what we get our word angel from, messenger. And so it's the good news. It's a message that's really good. And that's what we need to preach. And the word, when we think about this, we have to ask the question again, is no news good news? What is it that if we do this, by the way, is no gospel good gospel? That's a subtitle to the lesson. No news is good news. Well, is that true? If it is, then no gospel is good gospel. Think about that. What if we keep the good news to ourselves? What if we bind that up in our hearts? And I know I love Jesus. I know what Jesus did to me. I know how He came. What if we keep all that to ourselves? When you think about that, His virgin birth. What if you never tell anybody that Jesus was born of a virgin? What about His message of salvation? His death on the cross? What if you keep all that inside? What about the burial of Christ's body in that new tomb? What about the resurrection 3 days later from the dead? And what about His ascension up into heaven? And what about the fact that He's sitting at the right hand of God and that He has promised to come back? What if we keep all that in our hearts? You heard the song sang today, right? Did you sing along with that song? Oh, will you not tell it today? And as you think about that, I ask you a question. Did that enlarge your heart? Did you feel good singing that song? Don't you love that song? Oh, will you not tell it today? If you felt good when you sang that song, if the words to that song, you were listening to them, that song was all about telling people about Jesus. And if you really did feel good about that song, then you need to be thinking, is no gospel good gospel in my life? Is no news really good news? And then you think about 1 John 3:20. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and He knows all things. Will you not tell it today? And if not, why not? Well, you know, if you enjoyed that hymn, it should be building you up. It should be making you think, I need to go out and tell it today. I'm a Christian. But if you don't tell it today, others don't hear. And the words that Paul wrote in that Romans chapter 10, when he says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, as compared to how shall they preach unless they're sent, as compared to how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard. Will you not tell it today? You know, no news isn't necessarily good news. And no gospel is definitely no good gospel. Think about what's in your head right now. When the question's asked, are you telling it? When you think about the song, will you not tell it today? And then you think about yourself. And there's a word that would come to mind, and I'm not even going to share that word with you. But remember that God knows all things. And when you leave this place, meditate on that. Think about that. What am I doing in the kingdom to serve the Lord? You know, the gospel means good news. It really does. And I've never known anybody not to want to share good news. It doesn't make sense. I want to share the good news with other people. Imagine the voice, the excitement, the nature of and the zeal of a woman who's just been told, I'm going to be married. She's just been proposed to, and she's showing that ring out. Oh, look, he gave me a ring. And look at the ring. Boy, I'm going to get married. He asked, and I said yes. Think about a man that maybe this guy just learned today that he's got a promotion and a big raise. Boy, it's happening. Oh, look, I got a promotion, and look, I've got more money to spend. I'm so excited. Boy, I love my job. And then think about a father and a mother who had baby or babies. And the excitement that you hear when they say, it's a boy. And in this case, maybe it's a boy and it's a girl. And you know that excitement. Even if you're not a parent, you've seen people and their children come into the world and there's great zeal, there's exuberance, there's excitement in their voices. Think about the excitement that's in a man's or a woman's heart after they leave the doctor's office who just told them you're cancer-free. You know, it'd be hours later. They're driving home. They heard those words and that it just shocked them. But on the way home, they start really hitting them. I'm cancer-free. And when they get home, they open the door. They talk to their spouse or their children and their friends. I'm cancer-free. Man, you just think about those things. And all of these, and so many more things, would move people to share that good news. The greatest news, the greatest good news in the world is what? Jesus. Jesus. How is it possible then that we don't have the same zeal? When you talk about Jesus, why doesn't that make you feel really good? Why don't you get excited when you see a new face and you talk to them about Jesus? Will you not tell it today? Or is, in your mind, no gospel good gospel? You know, why would you bury that in your heart when you can tell somebody something like, listen, if you listen and you obey the gospel of Christ, there will become a day when God, the Creator in heaven, will wipe away every tear from every eye. When that same God in heaven, He will take away death. There's going to be no more death. There's not going to be any more sorrow. Are you hearing me? There shall be no more pain. All things will be made new. Everything old is passed away. That's exciting. That's what we want people to know. But when you think about that, the question is, why are we not telling it today? Think about the parable of the talents. Everybody knows the parable of the talents. Jesus gives minas to people or talents, and then one man buries the talent away. He's afraid to lose it, and he does nothing with it. Remember that? Matthew chapter 25, in verses 14 through 30. And in verse 29 and 30, you remember what Jesus said to that man who did nothing? He didn't tell it today. He did nothing. He said, everyone who has, it will be given, and he who does not have, even what he doesn't have will be taken away. And then he said, cast that unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why would we not tell it today? You know, cast him into unprofitable servant into outer darkness, that's a good reason to tell it today. For them and for us. In Luke chapter 2 and verses 10 and 11, speaking of Jesus, a messenger, the angel, he says, don't be afraid. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. You remember that? I bring you good tidings of great joy. And it will be taught to all the people. What is that good tidings of great joy? For there is a born to you this day in the city of David, a child, a Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. What kind of good news? You know, why do some Christians practice no gospel, no news? When you think about that, maybe sometimes it's because there's a social thing that's going out there that it might rub my friends the wrong way. Might spoil fun. I went golfing one time with a brother and two of his friends. And that brother told me, don't preach the gospel to them. You know, we're here to have fun. We don't want to mix religion and golf. Why not? Why not? 1 Peter chapter 4, maybe some people have the impression that if you tell it today, that maybe people will be embarrassed by the gospel. Maybe it'll ruin the social life. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. You know, Peter says, "For we have spent enough of our pastime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drunken parties, and abominable idolatries." Doesn't that sound a lot like today? And in verse 4, he says, "In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you." They're going to talk evil. If you preach the good news, a lot of people are just going to be turned off. Isn't that the truth? Jesus turned off a lot of Pharisees and scribes. A lot of Jews were turned off by Jesus. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering. Then, when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Listen, that's what we want. Don't worry about what other people think. Maybe you don't want people to get involved in some kind of drudgery. Maybe you think that Sunday it's just a burden to get out of bed and to get here on time and to listen to Dave. I hope that's not what you're thinking, but whatever. And maybe it's just Sunday's too much. I got to go in the morning and then I got to come back in the evening. And then I got to show up on Wednesday. Man, I don't want to get other people bothered with all that. What are we thinking when we decide that no gospel is good gospel? In John chapter 16 and in verse 33, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you that you may have in me, you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." How did He do that? By preaching the kingdom, the good news. Think about it with me. We want to be people that preach the good news so that we will avoid hell. And we will help other people avoid hell. That's what the good news is all about. Walking in the Spirit, as Paul said in Romans 8:1, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit." That's the good news. That's where it all comes from. The bad news is that the unconverted, if they don't hear, yes, they live their life, they're envied by the world, they're just a lot of fun, there's all kinds of enjoyment, worldly pleasures, but they will never see heaven and they will never see the face of God. Why would we not tell it today? Man, I'll tell you. Here's something that we should be thinking about right now, all of us. When we preach the gospel, great joy is something that just shows up. It did back then and it does today. In Matthew chapter 2, we notice that those wise men that came from the east, following that star from the east, that star rested over the place where Jesus laid in Jerusalem and Bethlehem, and it said that they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. the two Marys, when they came to the tomb and that angel was there, and they were thinking to themselves, how are we going to, we want to go see Jesus, but how are we going to roll away that big stone? But when they got there, the stone was rolled away. An angel moved that big old stone and was sitting in there. And when they came in, Jesus was gone, and they had great joy because the angel told them Jesus is risen. And what did they do? They ran out quickly with fear and great joy because of the good news. In Samaria, Philip preached the gospel, and there was great joy in the city. When the eunuch was baptized by Philip in that water, he came up out of that water rejoicing. Great joy. And the Philippian jailer, remember, Paul and Silas, he was, what must we do to be saved? They were baptized, he and all his household, and they rejoiced. You see, joy comes along with good news. And if somebody isn't filled with joy over the good news that their soul can be saved forever, there's nothing you can do to help. Move on. Nothing has changed from this century to the first century. The good news still brings joy. The gospel of the truth of our salvation, Ephesians 1:13, that's what it is. The gospel of our salvation, that's the good news. Scripture can't be broken, Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 35. God cannot lie, Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 1. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. God can't lie. This is good news. The faith that we have is not a religious fairy tale. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 8 tells us that there were many, many, many people who saw Jesus risen from the dead. They saw Him alive after the crucifixion and burial. Good news. Romans 16, 1, what is the good news? It is the power of God unto salvation. Good news. All the military might in the world, all the power, all the money, all the manipulation of God, all the prestige of man, all the most intense things that man can bring together are powerless to save souls. And that makes this really good news. And when we think about these thoughts, you know, think about a relief pitcher. What does he do? He saves. Many saves a relief pitcher. You think about your tax accountant. If he's good, what's he do? He saves us money. In the middle of the night, now work with me here. In the middle of the night, you wake up and it's real hard to breathe. Your lungs are filling up with smoke. You're terrified. You know that your children are in the other room and you're afraid they're all going to die. And then somewhere out of the smoke, you see this figure coming at you, and it's a fireman, and he's carrying your two children, and he helps you and your wife, and he gets you out of the bed, and they drag you through the fire inferno into safety. They just saved you. Think of that. How are you going to feel? Are you going to go out there and not tell people about what happened? You're going to keep that to yourself and never tell family, friends, and neighbors. I was saved from the fiery inferno in my house. Think about that. How much greater is the gospel? Jesus, who will save His people from the dead. Jesus alone can save us from the fires of hell. Jesus alone is the Lamb of God. Jesus alone is the one without sin. He's the one that can save us. And I'm going to tell you right now, I would suggest to you that if that doesn't excite you, if you're not willing to go out and preach the gospel, if your feet aren't blessed, if you've decided in your heart you've hidden away the gospel and you're just not going to tell people, and it doesn't matter what the reason. You don't tell them because you're afraid your friends will desert you. You don't tell them because you're afraid that they might have to come to worship service and they might not like it. You, whatever the reason is, you don't tell them. then I think you should check your pulse and see if you're alive spiritually. Check it. And if you have to get CPR, you know what that through the Bible. Just check it. The good news brings peace and promise. That's what it does. And when we think about the gospel of peace that Paul talks about, he offers that to everybody. Peace in a right relationship with the Creator. Peace comes from knowing that you are more important in this world than anything that God created. When you think about Psalm chapter 8, and we think about what God has created, and He thinks the sun, the moon, the stars, everything, and guess what? You're more important than all those things. Psalm chapter 8, verse 3 and 4. You're more important than all of that. Paul said God demonstrated His own love toward us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How important do you have to be if you're an enemy and your enemy still dies for you? For you. Not because of you. Not because he had to. For your benefit. That's pretty good news. And when we think about this, peace that comes from God, not just the joy, but peace, it's not an absence of conflict. We know Jesus in John chapter 16, 33, what did He say? He said, I write these things to you that you may have, in Me, you may have peace. But not the kind of peace of the world. In the world you have tribulation, and that's true. Peace comes from knowing that you're so much more important than anything. It comes from the blood of Christ. Acts 16:25, do you have this peace? Remember what happened there, the jailer? At midnight, Paul and Silas were in that jail. They're in jail. They've been in prison. They were already beaten. They're in prison. They don't know if they're going to come out, if they're going to be killed. They don't know, but what are they doing? They're sitting there singing and praying. And the other prisoners are listening. In their songs and prayers, you think that they're passing on the good news. Think about Philippians 4, 6 through 7, where the Apostle Paul said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, what does he say? Let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart. Paul says that in everything. Do you honestly believe that if you're not telling it today, that the peace that God's talking about here is guarding your heart? And that's up to you. That's up to you. But I can tell you that the gospel of peace is a promise and it's a way of life. And if so, be a peacemaker. Be blessed. And share the good news. And we think about this also. The gospel of life is immortality and hope. That's what 2 Timothy 1:10, Jesus Christ the Savior, He abolished death, brought life and immortality to light. We think about the good news that answers two critical questions. How can we live? In Ezekiel 33:10, that's the question is, how can we live? If all this terrible sin's going on around us, and we've even partook of it, how do we live? And Job said, if a man dies, will he live again? We know the answer. That's the good news. Yes, you will. Jesus came to give us life and life abundant. Truly abundant. You see that? And Ephesians chapter 3, 20, 21. To Him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask. That's what Jesus is. That's what the good news is. forever and ever. It says to all generations. You know how it goes to all generations? This thing kind of floats around over your house like with one of them hover things. What do they call those? Drones. And it goes over your house and it shoots a beam down in there and puts the news in your head. The good news, right? No. This goes around in somebody's hand. And they walk up to a total stranger and they say, do you know the good news about Jesus? You know the truth about Jesus? Can I share it with you? Can we study together? I have a fabulous story. I'm so excited about Jesus. I love Jesus, and I think you do too. Let's talk. There's no hovercraft. There's just the blessed feet of those who preach the gospel of good tidings. That's all there is. There's a guy, I'm not even sure how to say that name. If you speak French, you might come after me after the meeting, but I think it's Jean-Paul Sartre. He viewed life in this way. He said, everything is born without a reason. Prolongs itself out of weakness and dies by chance. And then he says, I choke with rage at this gross absurd being. Absurd being. What? Sad, sad thing to say. There's another fellow, an atheist. He said, every cradle asks whence? Like, and every coffin, whether? He says, death is the narrow veil between the cold and the barren peaks of two eternities. We cry aloud and the only answer is the wailing echo of our cry. There is no God. We don't know where we came from. We don't know where we're going. We just know that we're going to die. And we can cry out all we want, but the only thing we're ever going to hear is our own voice. Very sad. Sad. But it's not so with God's children, is it? Every child of God is looking beyond the azure blue. They're looking beyond this world. And every child of God can confidently say, He is our God. He is alive. Thank God for the hope of heaven. Can we say that? Sisters, brothers, friends, everyone who has graced us with their presence this day, I want you to be thinking. Think today. Death is just a doorway. That's all it is. Death is the door that leads us into eternity to Jesus. And that's either going to be apart from Jesus, the door that leads to everlasting punishment, or it's going to be in Christ through your faith and baptism, the obedience of the gospel, and that leads the righteous into eternal life. That's good news. In the presence of the Lord, our God in heaven, a world without end. That's the good news. The gospel light enables us to see beyond ourselves, to see beyond this world, to hear a voice other than our own voice through the Word. Beyond today. Turn with me one last time, and the lesson will be yours. I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to just read verses 3 through 5. Peter writes, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Do you really believe? Do you really believe that we're born without a reason, like that man said? You believe that nothing exists after death? Do you really believe that when you cry out up into the heavens, that the only person listening is yourself? Because that's not true. The God of creation hears your cries. If you're crying to Him and you're asking Him, He's going to hear you. If you're desiring the good thing, He's going to hear you. And this day, if you haven't obeyed the gospel right now, today is the day of salvation. Now is the time to do that. And God will not only hear you, but He will lift you up, add you to His household. You'll become a child of God. You'll be a part of the church that one day will be delivered up to heaven and given to God the Father. 1 Corinthians 15:24. Do you have a need this day? If you do, I invite you to come forward now as we stand and as we sing.